Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck at 93.9 WNYC and online at WNYC.org. I'm John Schaefer. Doesn't do you any good to wear a Halloween costume on the radio, so I'm sporting instead my scary Halloween voice for the program today. 21 years after a group of musicians gathered for the all-star benefit single called Do They Know It's Christmas, a new generation of performers is asking a snarky follow-up question. Do they know it's Halloween? Yep, that's the name of a single released earlier this month featuring some 30 indie rock luminaries like Beck, the Arcade Fire, members of Sonic Youth and the Yeah Yeah Yeahs. And joining us on the phone is Adam Gullner, the Canadian musician who helped to write and produce the new single. Adam, happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
So, can we assume that you found something in that original Band-Aid song, Do They Know It's Christmas, that seemed right for spoofing?
I think you can assume that. I think the lyrics are what we decided to spoof. There's something about those lyrics that's so misguided. You know, it's got a great heart, and that's a great project and a great intention, and it did amazing work. But the lyrics, you know, they talk about how in Africa, no rain ever falls and no river flows. And it's not true.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, there's that line that Bono belts out on the 20th anniversary edition. And you know, he just says, thank God it's them instead of you. And it just seems so crazy that he's saying that. So that's what we were spoofing.
Mm-hmm. So what is the tale being told in Do They Know It's Halloween?
There's many tales being told, but ultimately, the main tale being told is that Halloween is a night of fear and terror, and it must be stopped at all costs.
Mm-hmm. Are you aware, Adam, that there is in fact a rather serious campaign in parts of Europe to stamp out Halloween?
Because I just read this morning about Hugo Chavez in Venezuela, who's also trying to stop Halloween. Yeah, we're sort of spoofing people who are trying to stop Halloween. I mean, Halloween is kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess we didn't realize so many people were seriously against Halloween. I mean, we were satirizing the kind of Christian fundamentalists who want to stop it because they believe it's a heathen night of evil.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know,
well, the Europeans want to stop it because they believe it's an American commercial enterprise night of evil.
Yeah, and Chavez wants to stop it because it's a night of fear, and he believes that we're exporting American fear around the world. So, I mean, there's many people who have various reasons for truly wanting to stop Halloween. We don't really want to stop Halloween.
No. Adam Gullner co-wrote, co-produced the song, Do They Know It's Halloween. How did you recruit this lineup of people with Beck and the Arcade Fire and the Yeah Yeah Yeahs and people like that?
It was a long, convoluted process. It was an elaborate hoax that somehow became a reality. I don't know, we sent them emails telling them about the idea, telling them how we wanted to stop Halloween and we needed their help. And just persistence and generosity, you know, everybody who was involved did it, you know, for the cause. All of the money goes to UNICEF, of course.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
UNICEF has their annual trick-or-treating campaign with those little boxes. Are you familiar with those?
Yes, yeah.
And so you know, everybody just wanted to be involved. They thought it was a funny idea and an interesting idea, and that's sort of somehow it happened. I don't really know how it happened, but it did.
But unlike, you know, when Bob Geldof got all those people together in the studio to do the video for Do They Know It's Christmas, you didn't have everybody in the same place at the same time, did you?
No, we didn't. We didn't need to. You know, this is a digital era, and it's very easy to just get people's voices from wherever they are and bring it into the song, and that's how we did it. I don't know if anybody's ever done it this way before, but, I mean, that was the only way we knew to do it. We didn't have access to you know, funds to fly people over via Concorde, which is what they did with some of the Geldof team.
Right.
But no, this was a different sort of undertaking. It wasn't one afternoon. It was more like 7 months of emails.
To produce a song about Halloween.
To produce a song about stopping Halloween.
Okay. Now, Adam, has Bob Geldof, Sir Bob Geldof, to you and me, has he heard this as far as you know?
I heard a rumor that he heard it and enjoyed it and took it as a compliment.
Okay. So he got into the spirit of it as far as you can tell.
I hope so.
All right. Now, so where, I mean, can you walk out to the local record shop and buy this song?
Yes, you can buy it in local record shops. It's a single on CD and on vinyl. There's four songs on the single. It's an EP. There's a couple of remixes, including a remix by a guy who does production for 50 Cent, the famous rapper.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also buy it online at www.vice-recordings.com/Halloween.
Okay, well, we've got a, for folks who can't write that fast, we've got a link on our website to the place on Vice Recording's site where you can find the song called Do They Know It's Halloween? Does the song have, you know, a future after October 31st? Do you roll it out again next year?
I have no idea. We're just sort of making it up as we go along, and let's see what happens. Let's see where the night takes us.
All right, Adam. How big a project was this? How many people involved besides yourself?
Wow, totally. You know, including managers, artists.
No. Just, I mean, in terms of writing and producing the song. I know you co-wrote and co-produced it.
Yeah, I wrote it with a friend of mine named Nicholas Diamonds. The two of us wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
While we were in Los Angeles. I produced it with Nick and a third producer in Los Angeles, and that's the writing and production
right.
team.
Okay, and then, as we said, something like 30 indie rockers helping out, and the results, well, you can hear them in the background, are this single called Do They Know? It's Halloween. It is a fundraising device for UNICEF, so at the end of the day, Adam, you really are accomplishing something after your 7 months put into this project.
Well, we had fun, and we hopefully will be able to help some people out while we're having a good time, so I guess that is an accomplishment.
Yes, it is. Adam, thank you very much for joining us this afternoon on Soundcheck.
Much.
Adam Gollner is co-writer and co-producer of the song Do They Know It's Halloween.
Help us forget Halloween.
Fools,
you think you can stop Halloween?
The world can't hear your useless plea.
It's too late. Our orange and black plague will soon consume them all.
Then everyone will understand the true meaning of Halloween.
Pure terror.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Well, most of us know it's Halloween, but not everybody knows that tonight is also a night to celebrate an ancient Celtic festival that was the forebearer of Halloween. It's called Samhain, and the Irish-American singer Kathy Ryan is one person who knows what it's all about. She's made her name mixing music and folk traditions on both sides of the Atlantic, and she has just released a new CD called The Farthest Wave, and she's joined us here with some musical friends in the studio. And Kathy, happy Halloween and Merry Samhain, or whatever one
happy
says
New
on
Year.
This occasion.
Happy New
now,
Year.
Is Samhain the Celtic New Year?
Yeah, Samhain means November in Irish, or summer's end. And the Celts always began their day at sunset. So it's the beginning of the day. The darkness is the beginning of the day. And this time of year is the beginning of the new year.
Huh.
And you start in darkness, and then you move toward the spring and the summer and the harvest.
So I guess, right, it's probably tied to agriculture, to farming.
Yes.
It's the end of the harvest season.
Absolutely.
It's the end of the year. How does that get connected to Halloween? I mean, the Samhain, as I understand it, there's lots of bonfires and stuff, and
yes.
there's all kinds of spooky stuff around
it. Oh, it's great. It's the thinnest time of the year when the veil is lifted between this world and the other world. And Celtic mythology is like that, too. You can be wandering in a field in this real plane, and then the next minute you're in another reality, or you're with the fairies. And I think it's also a time when the dead can come into this living place. They can cross over as well. And I think maybe when Christianity came to town, they said, ooh, this is kind of scary. So like what you were talking about earlier with the single, why don't we make it about celebrating the saints and then the next day the souls? Because also it took 3 days. They would celebrate whatever day was the full moon.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. It's the time of the moon. You're in the realm of the moons this time of year. And you're also in under the aegis of the Cailleac or the hag, because it's the barren time. And the hag represents the barren time, the time for going inside. And a lot of the festivals stop after this big one. The year is split in two, the Celtic calendar, Beltane in May and Samhain in November. And it is the beginning of you're no longer out in the community. You're by the hearth. You're knitting. You're sewing. You've slaughtered the meat for the year. The harvest is in. The turf is all drawn in. And you're really going inside. And I think that's what the Cailleac represents, that sort of finding the intimacy, the wisdom, the deepening of your own roots.
Hmm. Now, that's what Samhain has traditionally meant.
Yes.
You just got back from Ireland. What are people doing? Is it completely taken over by Halloween now?
They're having great parties. I mean, I love what they do over there. I live in the Cooley Peninsula when I'm in Ireland. And Friday night, there was a huge party on the peninsula. And Monday night, there's another party. And they have bonfire. Everybody, you take an object, like this paper cup, and you put your intention in it for what the old year was to you. And if you whatever you want to lose, you throw it into the fire.
Hmm.
And it's burned up for the year. Very, very much like the Cailleac when they harvest, that final harvest, they take some of the stooks from the wheat or the barley, or else they take the last grains of the harvest and they weave them into a hag that they bring into the house. And then come spring, they beat her back into the earth because then the seeds are going to be sown again and germinate. But they have parties in Ireland today where adults dress up, the children dress up. You go, you feast on food and bob for apples and all of that and have the bonfire outside, tell stories, people sing. I mean, and then they do fireworks, which I think is really great. Mm. And that's a very modern twist.
Right. So, but it sounds like there is this kind of strange conflating of the old Samhain Celtic
yes.
holiday and the modern Halloween.
And I asked my friend Claire, who's hosting the big party on Monday night, why do you do this? She said, you know, I don't know. My family always did it. I do it now, and I'm sure my kids will do it. So it's not even consciously a ritual anymore in the old way.
So the way, the kind of ancient Teutonic traditions had a veneer of Christianity laid over them to make Christmas.
Yes.
We have this old Celtic celebration.
Yes. With the
Christian Ireland
overlay.
Is Christianized and, it's adopted and adapted and it becomes Halloween.
All Hallows Day.
All Hallows Eve.
Yes.
So now this figure of the hag, that she tramps around Irish mythology and Irish song in
yes,
a big way.
Very much so. I love her. She's wonderful. She's the sort of coming to a deeper piece of yourself where, she no longer has the fertility or the fecundity. She's not spreading her seeds and giving as much as she's standing back and just being. Taking. And it's the darkness. I mean, it is a time of darkness. It's a time of all those spooky things, the shadow coming out. I mean, I have a very good friend who's a Jungian analyst and author, Sylvia Pereira, and we were just chatting about this today, about how kids live at that level. I mean, they have nightmares and the shadow is very real to them and very present. And we've sort of squashed it because it interferes with us getting on with our life. But maybe at this time of year, it's a good time to just delve into some of that stuff, see what works for us in our lives and what doesn't. And the hag is a huge part of that.
Now, this first song that you're going to sing for us, is from that tradition.
Yes, it's called As the Evening Declines. It's an old lyric that was put to music by Dermot Henry. And I love the woman's voice in this song. She's the hag who is saying, maybe I'm not fertile any longer, but I still have longing and desire and appetite.
Okay. Kathy Ryan is my guest, and her new album's called The Farthest Wave, but we'll hear a live performance here in our studio with Sara Milanovic playing the fiddle and Greg Anderson the guitar. And this, again, is called As Evening Declines, live on Soundcheck.
I am old, very old, but I don't need a wattle. I'm old, yes, I'm old, but I'm not a dry nettle. All I need is a man who is high in his meadow. Glory, when the evening declines. Glory, oh, glory, glory, as the evening declines. And before the black hunger, I'd husbands in plenty. Maybe was one of the many, or was he that red coat who swayed more than any? Glory, oh, glory, glory, when the evening declines. Glory, oh, as the evening declines. King of all the meadow, with soft talk and kisses, we'll never want better. And the west of the ditch is the best of all saddles. Glory, oh, glory, glory, when the evening declines. Glory, oh, glory, glory, when the evening declines. I am old, very old, but I don't need a wattle. I'm old, yes, I'm old, but I'm not a dry nettle. So you clout the pot, and I'll clout the kettle. Glory, oh, glory, glory, when the evening declines. Glory, oh, glory, glory, as the evening declines.
That's lovely. Kathy Ryan in our studio with Sara Milanovic playing the fiddle and Greg Anderson the guitar, and everybody singing at the end there. As Evening Declines, is that on the new record?
That is on the farthest wave, yes.
So it's from this tradition of songs about the hag. Some of them are, as this one is, kind of sympathetic.
Yes.
Some of them have titles like Old Hag, You Have Killed Me.
That's right.
You know, so there's a whole spectrum of songs about this figure.
Yes, well, that's what I love about that line, I'm old, but I'm not a dry nettle. And then that's one of the reasons Dermot loved the song. He put it to music is because the nettle has a sting and the winter can be harsh and hard. I mean, the hag can be ferocious and fierce. Mm. She is life itself. She's it in all its aspects. And the lovely thing is when you beat the kalyak, the corn dolly or the wheat dolly back into the ground in the spring, she becomes the maid again.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the real cycle of life.
It's like resurrection myths throughout the world associated with, you know, farming again.
Yes, absolutely.
So the hag is made at this time of year at Samhain, or now yes. Halloween, out of wheat or whatever.
August, they make her, and this time of year, she really reigns preeminent because it is the barren time.
Yeah. Now, Kathy, you seem to be really sort of deeply in touch with, you know, Celtic mythology and the sort of pre-Christian roots even of Celtic culture. But you were born here in the States, right?
Yes, I was. I was born in Detroit.
So, I mean, what kind of, did you grow up in both places? Were you listening to both kinds of music as you were, I mean, was it all Motown or?
No, it was, I had very Irish parents. I mean, they came over in 1957. My father wanted to get a job for the Big Three when there was a Big Three motor company in Detroit. And his aunt was here and she said, you have to come. There's work. You can get work. You'll be fine. You'll be sorted. So he came over. And they were very Irish. So the inside of the house was very Irish. And we also socialized at the Gaelic League and Irish American Club down by Tiger Stadium. And it wasn't just a pub. I mean, there were Irish lessons there, Gaelic lessons, dancing lessons. It was very cultural. But there was a pub, too. So mm-hmm. It was good fun. And I was able to socialize with loads of people from different ages, which was really, I think it kept me sane. And then they would go to Ireland in the summer because Ireland was always home. So I was listening to great Motown. I mean, that was just amazing. I sound like an old lady with my son. I'm like, Patrick, they just don't make music like they used to. And the Irish music, of course, is fathomless, much like the history and the mythology. But my father brought home country music then. He worked on the line. And so he was bringing home Merle Haggard and Hank Williams. And so I was listening to all that, and the people in the neighborhood were all from down south. I mean, they all came up north to work for the factories as well. So Detroit is a great musical place.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is just full of music. Even radio in Detroit is great, you know, still.
So where are you living these days? I mean, you mentioned you're on the Cooley Peninsula when you're in Ireland.
Yes, my house is for sale in New York, and I'm going to move to Ireland for a while. My son is reared, and he's the one who said to me, Ma, why don't you move to Ireland for a while? So I'm thinking of giving it a try. I've been
Did he mean he wanted you to take him with him, or did he just want you to move to Ireland for a while?
Yeah, Mom, please go
away. Just
go
to Ireland for a while.
Well, now that I'm in my hagness, he probably needs a break. But no, I think he's going to stay here. He's doing the Wall Street thing and making his way in the world. And it would be nice, I think, to have a mom you can go visit in Ireland.
Uh-huh. All right. So in addition to, you know, performing songs like As Evening Declines, there of course is the up-tempo part of the Irish tradition, the reels and the jigs
yes.
and the stuff, which we usually think of as instrumental, but in fact, the next song you're going to do for us
is a reel. It's a reel.
What's the difference for folks between a jig and a reel?
It's the timing.
Mm-hmm.
The timing is different. A jig is 6/8 and a reel is 2/4. And I'm looking at Sarah to make sure I'm saying that correctly.
Right. So yes. The reel is in a double 4/4. Time. Right.
Yeah. They're dance rhythms. Yeah. They're different dances. It's all about the dance.
Okay, and the title of this song?
This one is called Patabiog the Wahar, which means you are your mother's little pet since Halloween is a kid's time.
All right, let's hear another live performance, Kathy Ryan. And actually, Kathy will be playing the Irish frame drum known as the Bowron. And once again, Sarah Milanovic and Greg Anderson playing the fiddle and the guitar, respectively. Another live performance on Soundcheck.
Kneel in the high and cast not why me myself.
That once again is a live performance in our soundcheck studio from vocalist and Bowron player Kathy Ryan. The Bowron is the Irish frame drum. Sarah Milanovic playing the fiddle, helping out with vocals. Greg Anderson playing the guitar. And I know just enough about Gaelic to know that when I see the letter H in a word, all bets are off pronunciation-wise. So yeah. I defer once again to you, Kathy, in the title here. It looks nothing like that.
No, it's M-H-A-T-H-A-R. You're right. It's
all right.
Mother.
So, you wrote on your website that growing up in America with parents who long to be in Ireland creates a kind of psychology of longing.
Yes.
That longing seems to be such a big part of Irish music.
Yes, it's very much there. I mean, the Irish have had to leave for so long, and also, I mean, they've had so many invasions throughout the history and being occupied by another country and all of that. Was the longing to be who you are, I think, is at the heart of it, the longing to be left alone. And then so many of the Irish came over here, including my parents. They still call Ireland home, and they've been here since 1957.
Wow.
So there's a real psychology of longing there. It's you're never home where you are, sort of, you know?
And in a day and in a world where people are constantly on the move and, you know, there's migration constantly. Is that, do you think that's a reason why Irish music has become so popular around the world with people who are not Irish?
Yes, I think also it really is a music that speaks to the heart of people. It's a music, I believe, that's carried the culture of Ireland, you know, mm-hmm. during the famine, during times of nearly losing the language completely. The music carried the history of the country. The character of the people is in the songs. It was something they could share, and it was something that could be nurtured and nourished mm-hmm. in the diaspora. And I think you hear that life force in the music. I mean,
and people can hear it in live performance as well. You are on tour.
Yes, we'll be at the Town Crier November 5th.
That's Saturday in Pauling, New York.
Yeah, and then we're doing the Midwest, and we're going to be everywhere. You can check the website,
right.
Best bet.
We have a link to your website on the Soundcheck page at wnyc.org. Kathy Ryan's been with us talking about Halloween, the Celtic festival known as Samhain, and... Kathy, you want to hear something really scary?
What?
This cold of mine, highly contagious and probably fatal. So, happy Halloween. That'll do it for this portion of Soundcheck. We'll continue in a moment.
Who never done nothing to you, but driven from the garden, sang their own songs in the spring. You can have your lily, you can have your taken and broken and bred by men. They were grafted